Ramsey TV.
From the edge to the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, this is Martin Zender, and you are at MZ TV. Welcome to the show. We're going to get right into it today, and I'm going to tell you what an allotment is. Wow, I never really get right into it. This is kind of scary. I'm going to do it, though. An allotment. The Greek word is kleronomia. Kleronomia. It's a two-part Greek word, and the English equivalent is lots appropriation. Klero is lots, and nomia is an appropriation. This is according to the Concordant Literal New Testament. That's the dictionary in the back. If you don't have this Concordant Literal New Testament, you can get it at concordant.org. It's very helpful. What is a lot? Well, according to the dictionary, it's a tract or parcel of land owned or meant to be owned by some owners. That's exactly what the dictionary said. Owned or meant to be owned by some owners. Now, when Paul talks about an allotment of the kingdom, he probably doesn't literally mean a tract. He could, though. This is the thing. There could actually be tracts of real estate in the celestial realm that certain individuals in the body of Christ will be in charge of. And if it's not that, then it's, if it's not a physical area, a physical dimension. I used to say that, I used to tell my friends that we're going to be in Sector 62 in the universe, Sector 62. I hope to meet you in Sector 62. Kind of joking around, but that might not be far from the truth. Because Israel, the Holy Land was divided into lots, and each tribe got an allotment. That is, a tract or parcel of land owned or meant to be owned by some owners. Are there some members of the body of Christ who will be owners, who will be given jurisdiction over certain parts of the universe? Yes. Yes, I see it that way. I see it that way when God divided the land for the sons of Israel. And I see it that way in the kingdom also. There will be the 12 apostles whose allotment will be Jerusalem. But even within Jerusalem, I believe there will be 12 sectors or parcels, because there are 12 apostles, 12 thrones. You remember Peter asked the Lord what his reward would be for following him. And you see, it's not just being in the kingdom. And by the way, there's going to be lots of people in the millennial kingdom who will benefit from that kingdom. They will benefit from the righteous rule going forth from Zion. So there's millions of people in the kingdom, but there are only 12 in Jerusalem who will be ruling. And their king will be King David, and the high priest will be Jesus Christ himself. But what about the rest of the earth? Ah, well, there's 144,000 who came through the day of indignation, and I believe that they will be given tracts, literal tracts of lands on the millennial earth. There's 12,000 belonging to each tribe of Israel. And I have no doubt that the earth is going to be distributed to these individuals who, when their genealogy is traced, belong to one of the 12 tribes. So, not having a place of rule in the kingdom doesn't mean you're not a part of the kingdom. Okay? That's a good start. Now, the word allotment, it's a generic word. I mean, it can apply to a bunch of different things depending on the context. Let me give you some of the contexts where the word allotment, kleronomia, lot appropriation. Let me tell you where some of those occurrences are and what the allotment is referring to. In Matthew 5:5, Jesus says the meek will enjoy an allotment of the land. Matthew 19:29, Jesus speaks of the allotment of life aeonian. So life aeonian itself is an allotment. But there can be allotment within the allotment. Aeonian life, that is membership in the body of Christ, is an allotment. It is something given to you. It is your part and parcel, if you will, using this really figuratively now, the word kleronomia. You have a place in Christ's body. But the allotment of the kingdom. See, that's an allotment, I believe, and I'm going to show you. Allotment within the allotment. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul talks about allotment of incorruption. We will all enjoy the allotment of incorruption. We'll all enjoy that. So in a way, you will have an allotment. I got two allotments for you already. Got the allotment of aeonian life and the allotment of incorruption. But is that what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 6? Nope, can't be. Hebrews 1:14, the allotment of salvation. Okay, there's your third allotment. Allotment of aeonian life, allotment of incorruption, allotment of salvation. You see what I mean? This word is generic. Everything depends on the context, just like the word ecclesia in the Greek, outcult. There was the ecclesia in the wilderness. That was the gang in Israel that went through the desert. That was an ecclesia. There's the ecclesia of the body of Christ. There's the ecclesia of the kingdom. Peter's gang, they're an ecclesia. And we know from Acts, there's a gaggle of silversmiths that were rioting. A bunch of Greek idolaters who were called an ecclesia. So you see, it all depends on the context. Hebrews 6:12, an allotment of the promise. There's your fourth allotment. We're going to inherit the promise of God. He promises to take us into the air to meet him and the dead in Christ who have risen first. Promises to give us life aeonian. We already covered that. Promises that we will never see corruption again and that we will be completely happy. And I know that's in the Hebrew scriptures, but I believe this to be a transadministrational truth. Love to use that word transadministrational anytime I get. Romans 4:13, allotment of the world. I forget who he's talking about there, an allotment of the world. Doesn't matter. I'm just showing you, here's another context where the word allotment is used. An allotment of what? See, that's what you need to ask. Just like when you see the word ecclesia. You need to ask, which ecclesia? Is it the rioting silversmiths? Is it Israel in the wilderness? Is it the body of Christ? Or is it the bride of the lambkin? Which ecclesia? So when you're talking about an allotment, which allotment? Hebrews 11:7, allotment of righteousness. There's another allotment that's yours. We have an allotment of righteousness. We've been reckoned righteous for now. We will be constituted righteous when we're snatched away and made immortal. Romans 8:15-17. I'm going to go to this passage because this is good and this will prime the pump for what I'm about to do in Ephesians and in Colossians. So let me go to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 15 through verse 17. Let me get to it. If you're following along in your scriptures, it's right after Acts and before 1 Corinthians. I think it's still there. I think that's still where Romans is situated. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not get slavery spirit to fear again, but you got the spirit of sonship in which we are crying, Abba, Father. The spirit itself is testifying together with our spirit that we are children of God. Yet if children, enjoyers also of an allotment. There you go. In fact, I could say we're enjoyers of four allotments. Incorruption, salvation, aeonian life, the promise, righteousness, I believe that's five. Yet if children, enjoyers also of an allotment, enjoyers indeed of an allotment from God. Watch what's happening here. Paul, in this beautiful passage of Romans, is going from a general allotment to a specific allotment. And when he gets to the specific allotment, well, there's an if there. There's an if there. Let me start this again. I just want to hear it again because I love it. The Spirit itself is testifying together with our spirit that we are children of God. Yet if children, enjoyers also of an allotment, enjoyers indeed of an allotment from God, yet enjoyers of Christ's allotment. What? Enjoyers of Christ's allotment? If so be that we are suffering together, that we should be glorified together also. Now, we're all going to be glorified, but there's a glorification that belongs to general membership in the body of Christ, and there's a glorification that belongs to Christ's allotment. My God, what is Christ's allotment? That in everything he may be becoming first, for in him the entire complement of God delights to dwell. And in him, through his blood, he will reconcile all things, those things in the heavens, those things on earth, to God. His allotment is the entire universe. Oh, I want Christ's allotment. But there's an if here. If so be that we are suffering together, we should be glorified together also. You know, it doesn't take a lot to suffer for this evangel. I'll tell you this. I suffer just setting up this equipment every day. Technological hurdles and hassles are my number one suffering over the last 30 years. And it counts as suffering evil for the evangel. Also, I just looked up my name online and there's some sites that say I'm a false prophet and a liar and all. So that's suffering. I've been kicked off radio stations. That's suffering. I've been abandoned by friends because of this. That's suffering. So all that counts. And I think that you're probably suffering in ways that you don't even realize. So you see how Paul goes from the general to the specific. Enjoyers of an allotment. Enjoyers indeed of allotment from God. Yet enjoyers of Christ's allotment. If so be, we're suffering together. What does this remind you of? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to go there again. If we are enduring, we shall be reigning together also. If we are disowning, he will be disowning us. What? Disowning us for ruling. That's the immediate context. Reigning, I should say. That's the word Paul uses here. If we are disbelieving, he's remaining faithful. He cannot disown himself. Been through that verse many, many times. But this is the topic du jour. This is what we've been talking about. And there it is right in Romans. Enjoyers indeed of Christ's allotment, if so be that we are suffering together also. So now let's go back to the passage that started it all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you not aware, verse 9, that the unjust shall not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom? What did I just teach you? Specific allotments. Specific allotments. This is not the allotment of aeonian life. This is not the allotment of salvation. It's not the allotment of incorruption. This is not the allotment of the promise. It's not the allotment of righteousness. If it were any of those things, it would be called those things, but it's called something else. And this wording is not just willy-nilly. The wording is specific because these are specific allotments. They're all different. The unjust shall not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Be not deceived. And I don't want anybody to be deceived. That the allotment of God's kingdom, whatever this is, and I suggested already what I think it is, I don't want anybody to be deceived, and neither does Paul, and he brings this up more than once throughout his letters. It's easy to be deceived on this because we're, again, accustomed to think of, well, we're saved by grace, saved by grace. Yes, we are completely saved by grace. And it is also gracious, and I'm going to show you this. This is so great, too. It's also gracious of God to give any of us the allotment of the kingdom. That's also the grace of God, but it's presented as something that belongs to not doing this shit in the context. It belongs to that. Neither paramours, nor idolaters, adulterers, catamites, sodomites. I'm getting tired of reading this list. You're probably getting tired of hearing it. Thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Now, there are certain words in this phrase that are in light-faced type, and you learn that in the Concordant version. You won't see that online. If you're reading the Concordant version online for free at concordant.org, it's a great resource, but you're not going to get all the helpful markings. And you're not going to see which words are in light-faced type. Because the words that are in light-faced type in the physical version, the print version, those words aren't in the original scriptures. They're added to make the sentence make sense. But the translator's honest by saying, hey, these words weren't in there. I put this one in there so that it makes sense. Which words are in light-faced type? I'm glad you asked. Enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. The word the and the word of are in light-faced type. Therefore, this literally reads, enjoying allotment God's kingdom. Allotment God's kingdom. I can take the literary license, the literary liberty of turning that phrase around and saying God's kingdom allotment. I don't think that's an illicit thing to do. Enjoying allotment, God's kingdom allotment. This is God's kingdom allotment. Kingdom. We don't see that word anywhere else in the passages I read you where the word allotment occurs. Remember, we had the allotment of the land, the allotment of life aeonian. Oh, we do have it. I'm sorry, I forgot to read this one. Matthew 25, 34, enjoy the allotment of the kingdom. So there's also a kingdom allotment. And remember, kingdom is also a generic word. You have to ask yourself, what kingdom? In the case of Matthew 25, it's the kingdom on the earth. It's the kingdom on the regenerated earth. It's the kingdom that will belong to Israel. We have a kingdom among the celestials. And we're still going to be in the kingdom. Here comes the verse. Here comes the verse I found in Ephesians that I've never looked at it before in light of 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 5. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 5. Let me go there right now. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 5. Become then imitators of God as beloved children, and be walking in love, according as Christ also loves you and gives himself up for us, an approach present and a sacrifice to God for a fragrant odor. Verse 3. Now all prostitution and uncleanness or greed, what's that a throwback to? 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 5. But we're in Ephesians, one of the highest spiritual letters Paul wrote. All prostitution and uncleanness, greed, let it not even be named among you, according as is becoming saints, and vileness and stupid speaking. Oh, I might be disqualified here. Stupid speaking is adding something here. Insinuendo, which are not proper, but rather thanksgiving. See, Paul's not throwing law at anybody. He's just saying, hey, this is not proper. Let this not be named among you. The law says, do this or die. Paul is saying, let this not be named among you. Very subtle, nice way of saying, don't do this. Paul's in a difficult situation. He wants to tell the saints to walk worthy of the calling, become imitators of God as beloved children. You see then, become then, verse 1, chapter 5, Ephesians, become then imitators of God as beloved children. He really tempers it there, where he says, as beloved children. If this was a law of Moses, he would say, become then imitators of God, or else. That's what he would say. But he doesn't. Become then imitators of God as beloved children, and be walking in love, according as Christ also loves you. And then when he gets to prostitution, uncleanness, or greed, he says, let it not even be named among you, according as it is becoming in saints. Vileness, stupid speaking, insinuendo, which are not proper, but rather thanksgiving. See? He's so careful. After he gives this warning, he backs up and says, with thanksgiving. He gives a warning, and he says, as is becoming saints. He gives a warning, then he says, as beloved children. It's not the law of Moses, folks. 'For this you perceive, knowing that no paramour at all, here we go, in Ephesians, no paramour at all, or unclean, or greedy person who is an idolater has any enjoyment of the allotment in the kingdom of Christ and God. No other place in the Greek scriptures is this word in. This is the breakthrough verse. This is it. This is an elaboration of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says, will not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Here he says, has any enjoyment of the allotment in the kingdom of God and of Christ. In the kingdom of God and of Christ. This tells me that every member of the body of Christ is part of the kingdom. They're in the kingdom. It's like I told you about the earth. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And many millions of people will benefit. They'll be in the kingdom. But they won't have an allotment in the kingdom. They'll be in the kingdom, but they won't have an allotment in the kingdom. If this just said in the kingdom, you say, well, everybody has that. Yes, but not everybody has an allotment in the kingdom. The word in is here. This is so great. When I saw this, picture a giant circle, which is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. And then in that kingdom are tracts. Tracts, parcels of land that require owners. And in those tracts or parcels of land will be placed members of the body of Christ who, by the grace of God, still are not these things. If they are these things, still got the allotment of aeonian life, still got the allotment of incorruption, still got the allotment of salvation, still got the allotment of righteousness. But what we're talking about here is an allotment in the kingdom. I should emphasize the word allotment, not the word in. I was so excited about the word in. But everybody's in the kingdom, but it's the allotment in the kingdom. It's like everybody's in a house. Right, there's a family in the house. But there's an office in the house where the patriarch, the leader of the family, sits, and from there he runs a business that supports the entire family. The kids are in the house. They're playing video games. They're playing with the pooch. But there's a room. There's a tract. There's a lot appropriation within that house where the patriarch sits. I'm not trying to be sexist here, please. Just roll with me here. And he administrates the house. Wow. I believe this is the same allotment Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 6, but we get the added benefit of the word in. The word in is not in 1 Corinthians 6. Enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Of God's kingdom. Well, it sounds like general salvation. Ah, but we know it can't be, remember? We know it can't be because certain kinds of sinners don't get it. But we know that sinners of all kinds get general salvation. Already determined that. If you're not clear on that, again, watch yesterday's show again. But I believe that this is an elaboration of that. Now I want to go to Colossians 3, verses 22 through 25. Colossians 3. You're going to love this. Starting with verse 22. I'll probably end with this. Paul's giving instruction to members of the body of Christ. Slaves, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye slavery as man pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. All whatsoever you may be doing, work from the soul, as to the Lord and not to men. Being aware, verse 24, Colossians 3, being aware that from the Lord you will be getting the compensation of the enjoyment of an allotment. There we go. The compensation. Compensation. The compensation of the enjoyment of an allotment for the Lord Christ are you slaving. For he who is injuring shall be requited for what he injures, and there is no partiality. Oh, this is loaded. I'm going to have to cut here. I just want to tell you one thing. I'm going to pick up here tomorrow. Compensation. Compensation is a Greek word, antipodosis. It's a three-part Greek word. Instead from giving. Instead from giving. Most of the time, in this life, we try to give from ourselves to other people. We're giving. And we don't always get compensated for that. But Paul is here calling the enjoyment of an allotment, and I believe it's the same one in 1 Corinthians 6 and Ephesians 5, because he's calling it a compensation. Compensation is something awarded to someone as a recompense for loss, injury, or suffering. It's an award, something awarded. Any amount you've suffered, any amount you've lost, any amount you've been injured, you will be getting recompense for that. You will be awarded compensation. And so the fact that this allotment is called a compensation tells me this can't be general salvation. Again, it can't be, because salvation is not a compensation for anything. Well, because you suffered so much, I'm going to give you aeonian life. No. God gives aeonian life based on his choosing and his choosing alone. And he gave aeonian life, we know even from 1 Corinthians 6:11, to people who were idolaters, who were revilers, who were extortioners, who were drunkards. They're living it up, living the high life. They're not suffering. But they're saved because of the grace of God. But this The fact that the word compensation is in here describing the allotment tells me, again, that this is an award. This is an extra wreath. This is something above and beyond your general salvation, your run-of-the-mill Body of Christ membership. And so you can see how it fits. Sinning grievously doesn't get you compensated, except, as we're going to see tomorrow, in a negative way, talking about the deus of Christ. Don't get nervous. I'm going to explain all that. The deus of Christ is all part of this. I'm going to go there tomorrow. But suffering, losing, being a loser in life, being constantly shamed, suffering loss, injury, any kind of suffering, you'll be compensated for that. Above and beyond salvation. Above and beyond salvation.